You come in, you don't know what's you know, you have your basic agenda, and God wants us to have that. But you know what? Our basic agenda can go out the door very quickly. And there's nothing, I mean, just let the Lord move. Let the Lord, like I said earlier, we don't have to worry about anything, people. Don't have to worry. Just a matter of note to you. We want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last Sunday, the tithe and offerings was $1,371.82. And thank you for your giving to the church. We certainly do appreciate it. Also, a matter of note, on September the 10th, we're going to be starting End Time Prophecy, which we will go chronologically in order of what's going to happen next to the end of time. And when we find out those things, it brings rest to our souls, and it keeps us from doing some things that shouldn't be done, basically. And it keeps us on the right path. Also, a matter of note, Wednesday till that time, September 10th, we are praying on Wednesdays. I want to invite you to come. Come pray with us and let God move, you know, within you, if you can. I mean, you know, I understand things, you know, but if you can, come and let God just restore your heart and soul. And let the Spirit of the Lord just work in your life. Amen. I think that's all the announcements. And Miss Gail, your meeting's on the 19th, the next one. Is that right? Okay, I have it in here. All righty. Amen. Isn't Joe doing a good job with the with all the stuff? Amen. 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 He's doing a great job, I tell you. It looks nice. You can go and look at our website. He has changed a lot of stuff. It's all new, whatever, basically. I mean, it's just really nice. We're even on Facebook, all that stuff. And what else we on? Everything else. Okay. Whatever. As far as sermons, you can go online. You can go to our website and you can get the Sunday sermon. And you can't view it right now with your eyes, but you can hear it. And then on September the 10th, we're going to start with the Wednesday nights too. But we do have the Wednesday nights from months ago, so you can go back and check things out. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. On tithe and offerings, I want to share one other story before we... Lord, have mercy. About a month and a half ago, someone called me, and it's a couple that comes here, and they were just talking about some things, and they told me, they said, "Pastor Joe, we need to ask you to forgive us." And I said, "Well, what's the deal?" And they said, "You know, it's been about 6, 7, 8 months, something like that. We stopped tithing." And I said, "Yeah, I know. I mean, you know." But he said, "You know, I need to ask you to forgive me." And I said, I do. I mean, there's no, you know." He said, "I want to tell you this." He said, "Whenever we stop tithing," he said, "everything in our home fell apart." I said, "I know. I know the background. I know what's going on." I said, "I know." But he said, I'm calling you for forgiveness, number one. And number two, to tell you. Because he had gotten a job and whatever. He said, "I want to tell you this. From this day forward, tithing's number one with us." I said, "Thank you." And I said, "I want to tell you this. Thank you for calling. But I said, I pray the blessings of God upon you." He said, "I don't care if we lose everything. Tithing will be first." And I said, "Thank you." See, sometimes God has to let us get to a place where he gets what he needs and gets the job done. And now he sees the importance of it, how God will pour out and bless. So I want to encourage you to keep tithing, keep giving. The blessings of God are being poured out upon us as a church, and God is doing miraculous things. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 5. Let's divulge the Word of God. Amen. Acts chapter 5. I tell you, boy, a great spirit in this place, I'm telling you. Oh, Lord. Praise. And Leonard, thank you for sharing that scripture. You see, I didn't know. You know, God is already He knew that scripture was for something, but just waiting. Okay, Lord. And I tell you, you know, God is just working in your lives. I tell you, it brings joy to my heart when I see what God is doing in each and every one of you. I mean, it just, as a pastor, it thrills me. Because I know this, the power and the anointing of God is moving, and He's setting up the church to get the final calling in of God's people, because He's coming. As I preached last Sunday, He's coming. In Acts chapter 5, look at verse 12, talking about Peter and other disciples. But it says this, starting with verse 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." Let me stop there with verse 12. It's an amazing thing that the foundation of the church was with the power of God. Signs and wonders by the hands of the apostles took place. Verse 13. "And of the rest, does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women." It's an amazing thing when the power of God is unleashed upon a people and they allow it to move, that God draws in men and women like never before. Man thinks of the opposite. Well, man, we don't want a prophecy. We don't, man, it's going to make people feel, it's going to drive visitors away. No, it doesn't. They see the signs and the wonders and the power of God. And they can't deny it. And it draws them to God. Verse 15, "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." Now, here we see Peter, and we know it's Peter. God used Peter to bring healing to many people's lives. Can you imagine the sight that he must have been beholding? As Peter and the apostles and disciples, you know, that's all basically the same. As they were walking down the streets. And we know the streets were lined with people. And the reason was because they were going to the synagogue or the tabernacle or whatever to pray and to worship God. And so because of the outward court that was so full of people that were waiting for Peter and the apostles to come, that as they were waiting to come, it got so filled with so many people that there was no more people could fit in it. And so they started to line up the streets with the people. And as Peter was walking, Peter didn't get up that morning and say, "You know, God, I wish you'd use my shadow today." If Peter's shadow, which we know of, healed all these people, probably today, if that would happen, somehow the ones that God would use for the healing, they'd probably try to gather somehow shadows to send to everybody. For a small fee. How sickening that is, huh? How sickening it is. Just trying to sell holy water. I mean, you see all kinds of things going on in the church. But here we see Peter as they were walking down the streets. I have scores of people that were sick, that were lying on beds and couches, lined up the streets, along with other ill people who were able to stand, hoping that Peter would pass their way. Even as he walked by them, his shadow touching them caused every one of them to be healed. Every one of them, not just one, not just two, not just three. Can you imagine the people trying to get on the side where the sun would do the shadow? You don't want to get on the other side, you won't be healed. The shadow didn't. So as the shadow, or really what it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And honestly, I know I joked about it, but they could have been on both sides. And as he walked by, the presence of the Holy Spirit would touch them. The ones that needed a healing in their bodies. And even it says the ones that were vexed with demon spirits. God used the mighty power of the Holy Spirit to touch these people's lives because of the love that he has for the human race. The degree of miracle work and power specified here was carried out by the Holy Spirit in order to establish the early church on a sound footing. These are the things that were happening when God established the New Testament church. Can you imagine? It's never been done in Scripture that we know of ever again. Can it happen again? Sure can. God can do what He wants. But it that we know of in Scripture, it has never happened again. As he would walk by, going to the place, to the temple, his shadow would touch the people. The Holy Spirit would heal their bodies and even heal their spirits, healing them, the power and the presence of our God. That's how great our God is. That he can take frail humanity, full of the sin nature, full of evil. It says that the heart of a man is evil beyond measure, according to the Word of God. That's why you never follow your heart. You follow the Holy Spirit. Because the heart's evil, because of the sin nature. That the power of God would be evident around Peter. To heal these people. To heal these people. Praise God. Without a doubt, this entire episode constituted a miracle of unprecedented proportions. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 14, please. Matthew, Mark. Chapter 14. What a great miracle. And we could read of all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders that took place in the New Testament church. My God! The power of God that indwelled in the people. Not like in the Old Testament where it would come on the prophets, where it would come on upon men. But this time, the Spirit of God dwells in us this day. So that the power of God could be moving like never before. As the word came forth in prophecy, as God used two people to interpret it, as the word came forth in just his word, my God! And no telling what other things that God is doing within your hearts and within your lives. But that we're living in a day when the power of the presence of God is wanting to move like never before. Have you ever watched a little bit of TV lately? Have you ever started flipping, even at a commercial, because it's horrifying? Things that were considered taboo 10 years ago are not anymore. It's like out and open. It's like my face wants to, my God, turn that thing. Turn it. But here we see Peter in Mark chapter 14, starting to verse 66. to 72, and it says this, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked up upon him and said, Are you also with Jesus of Nazareth?" Now let me stop there. Now remember, they were taking Jesus, and he was on the upper balcony or the upstairs part where they had a court, and he was at court. Every other disciples, I have to give this to Peter, every other one left. But Peter, out of concern and love for his Savior, yes, was far back, but he wanted to know what was going on, concerned about him. Verse 68, "But he denied, saying, I do not know, neither understand I what you say. And he went out into the porch, and the rooster crowed." And we know that story. "And a maid saw him again and began to say to him who stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again a little after. And they who stood by said again to Peter, Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech agrees thereto. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know this man of whom you speak." Now that doesn't mean that he started cursing God. That doesn't mean he started with profanity. He just was cursing as far as denying knowing Jesus, denying that he followed him, denying all of that, and probably being very assertive with that. "And the second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the rooster crows twice, you shall deny me thrice. And when he thought thereof, he wept." Here we see this story. You might say, well, Pastor, why did you come back with this story after just talking about Peter and the major thing, how God used him? This story of Jesus, of Peter denying Christ, is in all four of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what it is. Synoptic Gospels means Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That story is in each and every one of them. Every one of them. That means it's important. Even if it was just in one, it's important. It's the Word of God. But when you say something once, that's important. When you say it twice, that's very important. When you say it a third time, you better get a hold of it. Number four, you better get to it. It's time to get the business done. This is the same guy whose shadow had healed many people. Peter. God used him mightily to heal people. And just weeks before that, because him denying Christ like this was only a few weeks before that. What I'm trying to get you to narrow your picture on is this. And I'm going to talk about it a little later. That even when you and I mess up, because of God justifying us, he makes us worthy to be used by him. Because this is the fact, and I know every one of you could raise your hands and your feet also. When you make a major blunder, you feel this big, huh? And you feel like God doesn't want to use you anymore. And you even tell God sometimes, don't use me because I'm nothing. Not realizing that the blood of Jesus is what makes us right again with him and justifies us. And as we look to that blood and as we look to him, we ask for forgiveness and he washes that away. Now, can you imagine? Just weeks earlier, here Peter is denying even knowing Christ to maids. And that was maids basically or to the high priest. Saying, I don't know him. And denying it. And God and Jesus told him, or you could say prophesied to him or whatever, told him the truth, that you would deny me. And we know the rooster crowed. And I'm sure Peter could have taken that rooster and wrung his neck. If he could have got to him on the first crow or the second, He would have killed him, but he couldn't. Because it may not have been a physical crow either. Rooster. Just take food for thought. But it says this. Just weeks prior to the miracle, Peter denied even knowing him and much less following him. Peter denied him out of fear and out of weakness. Because just a few days before that, you remember when Jesus was praying? And he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus said, y'all stay here. And I'm going to go. And Jesus just wanted to be alone with the Father. That's what it was. Because he needed some help. And he started praying and he said, Father, help me. You might say, did Jesus need help? That physical body needed help to do the will of the Father. And it says that Jesus came back to Peter and them, and he came back, and what were they doing? What were they doing? Sleeping. They were sleeping. And they were tired, physically tired. And Jesus tries to encourage them, stay up and pray. And what he was trying to get them to do, to stay up and pray so that their spirits could be strengthened, their bodies could be strengthened. Because he knew, number one, what Peter and the other ones would go through. And he wanted them to what? Succeed and pass. And when he got back to them, they were sleeping. And we all can understand they're tired. But the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That spirit man on the inside of you wants to get with God. That spirit man on the inside of you that God has awakened when we receive God as our Savior has come in and lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit in us, indwelling in us. And that spirit wants to talk with God. That spirit wants to take time with God to strengthen us on the inside. Because you see, it's that spirit man that will live on forever. This flesh will die and it will go back to the ground. But that spirit man on the inside of us will live on forever in eternity with our Lord and our Savior. And how Jesus would have wished they would have stayed up and prayed. Because you see, Jesus knew what would happen to Peter. And it says in that last verse, 72. Can you go to verse 72? Is that it? No. Verse 72. Oh yeah. Before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. You know what that means? When that rooster crowed, the spirit man on the inside said, you've done it. And it says that Peter went and wept. He was repenting. He was asking the Father to forgive him. Asking the Father to go before him and help him. The restoration process of our God is so magnificent. He can take a lowly life that has been trodden upon, that has been downtrodden and hurt, and has bitterness and anger and strife, and just the life of this world that has torn that person down. God can come in an instant and rectify all things to the Father and bring life back into that person. That's the kind of God we serve that restores His people. And let me tell you, as Peter, in verse 72, it says, and when he thought thereon, he wept. The wept refers to sobs, which comes from the depths of his being. Can you imagine? Peter's repentance came from the depth of his being. I know probably every one of us has been there at one time or another, where we had to get to a place of repentance. It came from the depths of our hearts. We sang, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, and we think it's all messed up. That there's no restoration, that God can't do anything more. But we need to realize that our God is in the restoring business. When Jesus shed that blood, that it was restoring blood that restores the heart of humanity back to God. That's the kind of God we serve that will take you and I. When we mess things up, when we do things that are evil, honestly, when we speak evil, when we think evil, when we do evil, and take us as we saw before Him and say, Lord, forgive me, that He comes with the blood of His Son and He says, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And it says that He remembers it no more, like we've never done it before. Restoring, but not only forgiving us, but restoring us back to the place where God has set us up to be. It's not by accident that God used the shadow of Peter. God was speaking to him more. God was speaking more to him, and that's what I want to get to him than to the people. God was saying, Peter, I love you. Peter, I haven't forsaken you. Peter, I'm going to work in you. Peter, I'm going to get the job done. Peter, I'm going to work in you. Peter, I'm going to work in you. Peter, I'm going to work in you. Can you imagine as Peter was walking and he started to notice people getting up off cots, people in wheelchairs, all kinds of evil spirits leaving out, demonic spirits leaving out. And he turns around, because the shadow is always never before. Walking by faith, little. As the shadow would come across the people, he started to hear praises. He started to hear words. He started to hear things that were just edifying God. And he said, what's going on? What's happening here? And he turns and he says, oh my God. Look what God is doing through me. He truly has forgiven me. And I'm sure he might have passed those maids that he had denied Jesus to. And it said, surely I knew he was one that followed the Galilean. Oh, and this time he didn't back up. He walked proudly down that road, not with an arrogance, but a proudness in his God, saying the job will be done. People, God is in the restoring business. He will restore your soul. He will restore your spirit. He will restore your minds if we let Him by the Spirit of the living God. That's the power of our God. That's the power of our God. That God is moving at will within His people, trying to get His church to a place where they can be effective. Trying to get us to a place where people can walk in and the Spirit of God hits them so hard that the anointing and the presence of God and they ask forgiveness of our Lord and Savior. That is, they are drawn unto Him. My God, that repentance flows. But the devil will try to tell you and I that, hey, he can't use you anymore. You surely have made him. This is just too far. But we know from Scripture that is absolutely 100% false. And God is still able to use, and God still wants to use, because you know what? We're not perfect. And let me tell you, you're going to mess up again. You're going to mess up again. You will. But when you know who you are in Christ, a different story. You're going to say something you know you shouldn't have said. Huh? What you do is you keep a sock in your purse or a sock in your pocket and throw it in to shut up. I'm not giving out socks today or tomorrow. Pull it off your feet. That's all I can say. No. Oh, Lord. Y'all are bad. Repentance. Psalms 51:17 says this. Give me just a few more minutes if you don't mind. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken spirit. He can take the crushed in spirit and raise them up to do mighty things for God. When we ask forgiveness, does God truly forgive us? When He forgives us, we are forgiven. And let me tell you this. When we ask forgiveness of things, we are forgiven totally. Totally. When you ask forgiveness of something, you're not only forgiven 50%, 75%. You're not forgiven on the basis of how much work you do for the kingdom of God. You are forgiven because of your faith in Christ, in Jesus, and the blood of His Son, of Jesus Christ. You are forgiven totally, completely, and absolutely. Oh, you are forgiven totally, completely, and absolutely. We must understand that there is no such thing as 50% justification. One is either fully justified or not at all justified. Now, let me tell you what justified means. 5 more minutes. Everybody's okay with that? Okay. What y'all said? 10 minutes? Oh, okay. Look. They said, look, I got to go eat now. I don't want to have to ask forgiveness in church. Lord. Justification is the declaring of a person to be just or righteous. Get that in your spirit. Justification is the declaring of a person to be just or righteous. See, I've heard some people say this. Oh, man. Christians, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, all that stuff. They'll say, man, I'm nothing. I'm trash. I'm lower than dirt. And I understand basically where they're coming from. But I also know this, that they don't understand the power of the blood of Jesus. And when they say these things, that it's kind of negating the blood and its power. God restored Peter. God wants to restore us in every capacity and in every way to justify us in Him. Whenever you have time, this week you need to do that. Read Romans chapter 4 and 5. Paul goes into a great deal about justification by faith, and it will help you. Go into Romans chapter 4 and 5 and just read it over again, over and over. And let the Lord do a mighty work. But it says that in Genesis 15, verse 6, and I'm about to close, it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. If we only knew how righteous we are, it would blow us away. If we only knew how saved we are, it would blow us away. And if the world knew how lost they were, it would blow them away. We don't realize how saved we are and how righteous we are, right standing with God. Not in our own works, but in the works of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and His blood. That He justifies us and He counts us worthy. As we put our faith in Christ, that faith gives us justification on the merit of Jesus Christ. Because you and I cannot reach the standard that God demands, it's impossible. Jesus Christ did. He went to the cross to satisfy the sin debt, which was the broken law. And in doing this, it made it possible for Him to represent us. Now, I want you to get this. One more minute. The perfection of Christ, who is our representative, He represents us, man, for all who believe in Him, is transferred to the believing saint or sinner, and that person is automatically justified. Okay? We're not justified on our own, but it's through Him. And that makes us perfect. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect in all our doing. No. But as we put our faith in Him, it makes us perfect. It means that we are forgiven. We're declared not guilty. And that person is declared innocent. Can you imagine, people? Look, this day, I know every one of you has no known sin in your life. I know that. Known sin. I'm thinking, I know that. But there are areas in our lives that God has to continue to work on. Do you know this day, as Jesus is seated next to the Father, that He says, "My church is innocent. My church is guiltless. My church is righteous." That's how He can come for a church without spot or wrinkle. I've often wondered, Lord, You'll never come. There's no way. But you see, He doesn't look at it from the eyes of us. We have to look at it from the eyes of Him. That says, as we look to Him, He justifies us as righteous and holy and pure before Him because of the blood. And in doing that, we are counted as innocent, guiltless, perfect in Christ. When we look at it that way, it keeps us humble before Him. Because it's not us, but Him. It's not you and it's not me, but it's Him. God restored Peter. 30 more minutes. No, I'm kidding. God restored Peter. And God can restore us. You might say, Pastor, why are you preaching on this? Because the devil's going to come after you tomorrow. I know it. He only goes after people He doesn't have. Look at it that way. He only goes after people that are His enemy. But you see, tomorrow morning when you get up and you throw your bed, you throw your legs over the bed and you have to say, "Oh Lord, Monday morning. Oh Lord, help me. Help me. Lord, help me here." If you can, lift up your hand and say, "Father, I put my faith and trust in You. You're the King and You're my Lord. And Lord God, You're in control of every aspect of my life because I've given it unto You." The power of God moves, people. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you for your patience in staying a few minutes longer. You know, we start at 10, but there's no ending time. No. You might say, Pastor, you need to put an ending time. Yeah, you're right. No. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Would you bow your heads for just a minute?